Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 205. And coming up on this one, the Leafs had won three in a row before losing to the Lightning on Wednesday night. Matthews is now at 63 goals. Can he get to 69? Can he get to 70? We're going to take a look at that. It looks like Marner's ready to return, but who comes out of the lineup when that happens? Seven games to go. The playoffs are right around the corner. We're going to tee it up for you right here on 205 of the Tip In podcast.
Chad, have we been underestimating this team all season long? Are they actually a lot tougher than we thought they were? We're going to give you our thoughts on that, folks. Let's hit the intro.
Tavares coming out, sends it in a goal.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
Don't forget, follow us on social media at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, Tip In Podcast on TikTok, Tip In Pod on Twitter, and email us tipinpodcast@gmail.com. Well, Dale, I thought spring was in the air, and then here in Ontario, winter opened its robe and wiggled its dick at us.
Dumped.
Just last time.
Last night. Wicked, brutal stuff, man. Just all night long. Who wrote that song? All night long.
Oh, yeah. Who did it? All night long.
Yeah.
Who wrote that?
I don't know. I can't think of that. I don't think it was Corey Hart, but.
No.
It's in the same vein as I wear my sunglasses at night. All night long.
isn't it Lionel Richie?
Oh, yeah, Lionel Richie. That's it, 100% all night long. And guess what?
All right.
Cat's out of the bag on Lionel Richie. The meaning behind that song, all night long.
Yeah.
It's not a metaphor. Okay. He goes all night long. That is 100% fact, Lionel Richie.
Yeah. Well, I think that the song is pretty self explanatory. So he goes all night long.
Love that song. So we got dumped all night long.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the end of that. But other than the blast of snow right to the face, how we doing? How we doing? How we doing? Other than that.
We're okay. I mean, we got seven games to go until the playoffs are finally here. And that's all I really care about.
Yeah, man.
All I'm looking forward to. It's fun to look at the standings and be like, oh, who are we going to play? What's going to happen? But
no, for me, I wish the playoffs started fucking this weekend, man. Like, I'm just ready to go right now. But so we haven't did it.
When baseball starts, the NHL playoffs should start at the same time.
So we haven't done a podcast since before Easter. So we didn't get around to Easter weekend making it happen. But you think there's still any eggs on the loose? Or were you able to get your hands on all the eggs on your own?
Yeah, I got my hands on. Well, I didn't get my hands on all the eggs, but there were a lot of eggs around. I saw them everywhere.
Dude, I had a nice picture of Michaela all ready to go. For those of you who know, you know. For those of you who don't, well, I'm not going to explain it right now, but Chad knows what I'm talking about. Michaela in an Easter bunny costume, juggling a few eggs in a basket. Man, I wanted to get my eggs into her hands, but listen, anyway, maybe next year. There's always next year, right? Yeah. But
next year it'll happen for sure. And that's what it is. It's not about you and her. It's timing. That's all it is.
No, I meant just getting her back like up on the screen.
Well, I thought you meant getting your eggs in her hands.
Oh, dude, I know that's not going to happen in this lifetime. But anyway, yeah, dude, I'm just looking forward for get the playoffs cooking here. It's still interesting. Like, a lot of things still up in the air. Like, don't know. Tampa's right on the tail, right behind the Leafs now. They're playing Montreal as we're recording this, so we'll see what happens there. If they win tonight, I think they'll be 2 points behind the Leafs. The Leafs could still catch Florida.
Let's look at the standings.
Yeah, all right.
Let's look at them, and then we can break it down for you. So Florida has played 76 games. They have 99 points. Leafs have played 75 games, have 95 points. So they're only 4 points behind with the game in hand. Tampa's at 91 points playing tonight, and they've played the same 75 games.
Where are the Bruins at?
The Bruins are at 103.
Yeah, that's probably...
They're probably going to wrap up the division. The way Florida's playing lately,
yeah,
I think the Bruins are going to win the division. But the Leafs do have a chance of getting second and getting home ice.
They could.
That's if they had won last night in regulation, yeah, that basically they would have kicked Tampa having any chance for third place.
Seven games left. They still play Tampa again. They still play Florida again. The final two games of the regular season. So really, they could still finish anywhere from second to a wild card, like with seven games to go. It could be any of those things. So
yeah, but with the Rangers are at 106. So even if Tampa caught Toronto and Florida picked up their game and Toronto fell to a wild card spot, it looks like you're going to either get Boston or Florida.
Yeah,
that's it. Like that's so, basically all that can happen. There is a small, slim chance that Tampa would pass Florida and Florida would fall to a wild card, but they'd have to lose out all their games and Tampa would have to win all their games. Not going to happen.
No, probably not. So we'll see what happens here. But anyway, man, want to go to the goaltending off the top here.
Yep.
Like Samsonov clearly is going to be the starter. There's just no doubt about it. I don't think there's anything Joseph Woll can do in the remaining games to, I don't know, maybe there is. Like we'll see what happens. But does it not look like it's going to be Woll not starting in game one, but Samsonov for sure?
Yeah, that's definitely how it's playing out right now. I think it's probably time to just make that decision with seven games left. Like you can keep going back and forth or whatever, but I don't know. I would, if Sammy's getting hot, I would ride him right into the playoffs.
Well, do you want to do that though? Like, do you want to play him? Like, do you not want to?
Well, you only got seven games left. So can he play five of those games? Or are you going to go 1-1-1? Are you going to play?
I don't know. You're risking injury and all that. Like how hot?
That's true.
Like how many? I don't know what the right.
I just want him feeling good. I want him. You know, I want him going into the playoffs feeling good. He deserves it the way he's played recently. He, you know, and he was good last year in the Tampa series. He outplayed Vasilevsky, so he probably deserves to be, yeah, he deserves to be the starter in game one for like sure.
They've still have two back to backs remaining, so those are four of the remaining seven games. So he'll get two of those games, I imagine. Woll will get the other two. So then there's only three games on the schedule after that. Do you play him this weekend in Montreal? I probably wouldn't. Like,
you go to Woll?
I think I would. Why would you play Samsonov? I wouldn't do it personally.
Well, I just figured, you know, get him into playoff groove.
They've got four games next week: Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So
okay, that's don't play Montreal on Saturday.
Then. No. But we'll see. But I think that decision is made unless Woll does something just insane here with his remaining starts. But I just don't see it. I think it's Samsonov game one, but that doesn't really mean anything. I still think we'll see Joseph Woll in the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, I hope not. Well, I hope whoever's the starter just takes the role and goes.
Yeah, but I'm not even convinced Samsonov can stay healthy for a fucking run, to be honest with you.
That's true. He played, nine games before? He went out in game two, right? Last year against Florida?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so he played eight games. He played eight games before he got hurt. So, yeah, you're right. We probably will see Joseph Woll. If they go on a little bit of a run in the playoffs, you're going to see Joseph Woll.
They have to go on a run anyway.
They have to.
This is the time, man. Like, all of a sudden, I'm not like, it's going to be a tough matchup no matter what. If it's Boston, if it's Florida, if it's the Rangers, Carolina, whoever it is, it's going to be difficult. But all of a sudden now, the Panthers matchup doesn't look that, not as intimidating, I guess. Not as intimidating. Like,
The last 10 games,
they've been dipping, right?
The last 10 games, Florida Panthers are 2-7-1. They're almost averaging four goals against. They're at like 3.6 giving up. So they're almost giving up four goals a game. Bobrovsky's just taking a complete shit. Their power play in those 10 games, 32nd, dead last in the league at 6%. Like if they roll into the playoffs playing like this, although it doesn't really matter, I guess.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But
I know what you're saying.
It's a little more comforting.
Tampa and Boston are rolling and Florida looks like the team and Toronto's been on a bit of a roll too.
Like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but honestly, like if I had my choice today to pick between, forget the Bruins, I think they're gone. I don't think it's going to end up being Boston, but if I had to pick to play in the first round, the Panthers or the Lightning, it wouldn't be the Lightning.
Yeah,
not right now.
I would pick
the Panthers, the Cougars.
Over Easter weekend one night, everybody went to bed, and I just started watching last year's, like not the whole games, but I was watching highlights of the Florida-Toronto series last year.
Yep.
And it's funny how your mind, like you think once it's over, you're like, well, the Leafs played like shit. They lost in five games. If you watch that, the Leafs actually played really well. Bobrovsky was just unreal. And
that's
he's coming,
how I recall it, but
that's what I mean. I recall it as like Florida just dominated them, scared them off the ice or whatever. Yeah. But every game was by a goal except for the first game.
Yeah.
Two were in overtime, and basically Bobrovsky played at a 950 save percentage rate, and he was robbing the Leafs. Like, the Leafs had glorious chances if you go back and watch it. They just couldn't beat Bobrovsky. And what it's showing me is maybe Florida is that whole thing that they always say, you know, like, show me a good goalie, I'll show you a good coach, that kind of thing.
For sure, for sure.
Maybe if Bobrovsky's come back down to earth, Florida's just not as good as everyone thinks they are.
No, like the Bobrovsky thing scares me for sure, but not as much as the Vasilevskiy thing right now. Like, he just looks like he found it.
He's getting back into form now.
Dude, like, I don't know. If it ends up being Tampa, Boston, like, you cannot sleep on Tampa Bay in that series at all, not for one second. So we'll see what happens anyway. We'll get a lot more playoff talk to come as we get inch a little bit closer to the playoffs, but let's go to Matthews, man. So two times six, haven't done a pod since he scored his 60th goal. He's up to 63 now, on pace, like you said, for 69. I think that's exactly where he ends up, right at 69, not quite to 70. But two times 60 goal scorer for the first time in his career. Maybe not the last. We'll see. I don't know. Not many people get to 60 that often, but ninth player ever, actually, to score 60 goals, and no active player has had two 60 goal seasons. No active player has had.
Yeah, no active player.
48 of those 63 goals now have been even strength goals. That's a fucking wild number there. He's almost got 50 even strength goals, strength.
And only two empty netters, I believe.
Yeah. He's had a couple over the last little bit here, but pretty much, like, he's almost got 50 fucking even strength goals. That's probably the most impressive fucking stat of them all. Like, you'd think half of those he banged in on the fucking power play or something. That's crazy.
Well, the Leafs don't get a lot of power plays. Like, they're near the bottom of the league in power plays. They just don't get a whole lot of calls going the other way for the teams they're playing against to get the power play. But to do, 48 goals, 5-on-5 is insane, man.
It is.
That's crazy.
Anyway, where do you think he ends up? Like, I mean, Skies, it could be 70, but goals to go with seven games left.
If you're watching the games, though, they're doing everybody on the team is doing everything to get him the puck.
Would it surprise you if there was a hat trick cooking up in Montreal on Saturday night?
No, they Domi's on a breakaway the other night, like, clear breakaway. He's looking around for Matthews. Yeah. They're always looking for him on the power play, everywhere. He's shooting it now like crazy from anywhere he gets the puck. He's ripping it.
Yep.
So if anybody could do it, Auston Matthews is 7-7.
Couple two-goal games down the stretch here, and you're fucking right there, right? Knocking on the door. So we'll see what happens. You know, it's
70 goals.
Yeah, it's impressive. Like, I want to see him get there just because you just don't see it, especially as a Leafs fan. You never fucking see it, but it just doesn't happen. It's crazy. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. We haven't done a podcast since Benoit signed his 3-year extension. What are your thoughts here, Chad? I think Tree Living, I want to give, before you talk on it, Tree Living credit for getting things done during the season. Like, Dubas didn't do a lot of this, like, keeping his own guys. He gets McMahon on a reasonable deal during the season. He gets Benoit on a reasonable extension during the season. What are your thoughts on the Benoit extension plus Tree Living getting things done?
Yeah, I like both of it. I like that he's getting it done during the season, but in particular with the Benoit signing, man,
what a steal.
I really like this guy. I think he has been, in the past little while, he's had a couple bad games, but I think those games always seem to come when he gets pulled out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And then he gets
the guy fucking in there, Sheldon.
When you keep him in the lineup and he gets the games under his belt, he seems to play. He seems to be one of their best defensemen. And the thing I really like about him is, like, he's not afraid to get in there.
No, he's not.
And you need more of that. You're going to need that in the playoffs.
I thought you were going to say his mustache, because that's pretty incredible.
Obviously, everybody knows his mustache is great. But no, him and McCabe, I think, have been playing.
That's the pair. Just fucking leave them alone.
Yeah.
Quit fucking with it. Just leave them.
Yeah, no, I totally. But you know what's going to happen, right?
Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. But you know what's going to happen.
I think I know, but I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I love it. I think the price tag is great. 3 years, like, just can't say enough good things about Benoit. I love the guy, and McMahon as well. And Tree Living, I'll tell you what, coming around a little bit on old Brad Tree living here, like his kind of roster that so like at the beginning of the season, I'm like just full of question marks, like the fuck Bertuzzi, Domi, Reeves. Now, all of a sudden, with a couple weeks to go, I'm like, this guy could be a fucking genius. Like, did Brad Tree living flick the switch in one season on this whole fucking thing? Like, we'll find out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't think this is the most talented team that they've had in the past few years, but this is by far the toughest. This is the toughest team they've had going into the playoffs. Like, this is the most players that aren't just fourth liners surrounding the core that aren't afraid to get their nose dirty.
It looks that way.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. So I'm excited to see how it goes in the playoffs. It might work. It might not.
Okay, so speaking of that, it looks like Marner is going to return to the lineup Saturday night in Montreal.
Yep.
Man, I don't know. Like, I know they're coming off a loss. Like, they had 1-3 straight going into last night against the Lightning. So they beat the Capitals, they beat the Sabres, they beat the Panthers to win 3 straight, and then they lost to Tampa last night. But I don't know. Like, Marner's missed like 11 games, man, 12 games. Who off the top of your head comes out of the lineup? And where does Mitch insert himself into the lineup when he returns on Saturday in Montreal? What are your thoughts on that one?
It's tough. I don't know what to do. I've actually thought about this, and especially after we did the last podcast and talked about keeping Domi up on the first line with Matthews and Bertuzzi.
Well, maybe, the line looks fucking, that line looks incredible.
It looks incredible. It's not great defensively, but it looks incredible.
90% of the time, 100%, they're in the offensive zone. So, yeah. They're not really in their own. They don't get caught in their own zone a lot.
Yeah, no, it's looked good. So do you ease Marner back in? Do you ease him back in and maybe put him on the second, third line?
There's only one logical choice for me, and it's
Tavares, Nylander, Marner.
That's it. It's got to be. It's the only logical place. You move McMahon down. I don't know who comes out. Is it Doer? Is it Reeves? Is it Pontus Holmberg? Who comes out? Is it Robertson?
It shouldn't be Robertson.
Big goal in the Panthers game. Breakaway. Beautiful. Tucked it. Nice little deke. Like, he's a guy. Like, how many times have I said this? I want him in because of moments like that. He gets a breakaway in the fucking playoffs. He fucking buries it. He's got the touch. He's got the mitts, man. Like, you're gonna need secondary scoring, and I think that guy can give it to you. But Sheldon Keefe, I don't know. I could see it. I could see Robertson being totally. The guy.
Well, especially when Yarncroc comes back.
I don't love that either.
When both of them come back, Robertson's definitely coming out.
I don't love that. But no, I think you're right. But so who do you think just comes out immediately then? Just start on Saturday night. Do you think it's Robertson? Holmberg? Probably not.
Well, Holmberg's probably your third line center, though. So you'd have Holmberg with Nyes and Robertson on the third line. And then you'd have Camp with Reeves and Doer. So, no, that would McMahon's going to go down to the third line. That's who I'm missing. So, if McMahon goes down to the third line, Robertson probably comes out. Unless you take Doer out and you put Robertson down on the fourth line or something. He's not putting Nyes or McMahon on the fourth line.
No. And for a game like this on Saturday, honestly, and because it's been very physical as of late, you could just make a simple decision. And I'm talking about just Saturday here, and you sit Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
You don't really need him in the lineup against Montreal on Saturday, right?
No, it's true. He's what, 37 years old? Yeah, he could use a little break. I mean, he's been playing hard.
Big time.
So he could use a little break. Make sure everybody's playoff ready. If you can right now rest guys like that, do it.
I totally agree. So we'll see what happens though. But anyway, again, that top line, Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi, I love it, man. Like, talk about Bertuzzi's game had already started to come around, but I mean, since Marner's gone down, like, honestly, Domi and Bertuzzi have never looked as good as when all of a sudden they're playing on the same line with Matthews. They just, you want to get the most bang for your buck out of these two guys? You probably play Mitch somewhere else and you fucking let that line ride because they're tearing it up. Like, I just love the way they look together. It just looks like a perfect fucking fit. Does Mitch need to be there? Is he going to be a pouty little bitch if he doesn't play with his buddy? No, or is he going to be cool with, like, taking one for the team and going plugging in a hole somewhere else?
Well, I don't think he'd be a bitch about it.
I don't know. Mitch kind of strikes me as a little bit of a pouty little bitch. Do you not think? He's got a little touch of pouty bitch. Does he not?
Sometimes, I think. Yeah, sometimes
he does. Like, not, he not does. Me. It's not I don't you think guys. He does.
I don't think he does with the team. I think he does with the media.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Fucking.
That's what I mean. He comes across that way sometimes in the media because that's just how he is. I think when it comes to the team, I think he'll do whatever it takes. Yeah. As long as they're winning, he doesn't care. And, you know, playing on the second line with Tavares and Nylander is not that bad.
No, it's not. Like, go help the teams. And he's going to help on special teams and all that, like, right back to killing penalties and whatever. So, I don't know. It should be very interesting to see what Keith does. Like, would it surprise me if they drop Bertuzzi down and Mitch goes on the top line? Of course, nothing would surprise me with fucking Sheldon Keith. But I just think, like, how many years in a row now have we seen Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander? And it hasn't
worked. You could take Holmberg out, and Domi could be your third-line center.
Yeah, but Max looks the best he's looked. Why are you gonna?
Yeah, and he's not that great. Like I said, he's not great defensively, and you want your third line to be somewhat responsible.
Here's your podcast title right here, Chad. Bang for your buck, okay? Because look, it's the truth. Like, you want the most bang for your buck. You don't fuck with something. Why? This is what drives me nuts about Keith. Like, are they winning every night? No, but that line just looks fucking like it fits. Why fuck with it? You don't want to drop Domi. Like, yeah, you could if you needed to drop Domi down to the third line center, but you're not going to get the bang for your buck out of him that you're getting top line with Matthews. He can keep up with him. He's got good wheels.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because a good example is when Riley came back. As I felt like the D pairs when Riley was hurt were really clicking. And he
unbelievable.
Just, Riley
they
came back,
winning every night.
And he just completely like threw a grenade into the D pairings and was like, boom, everybody's switching. He took Liljegren off the power play and it was Riley on there. And everything just kind of fell apart after that.
I know.
Not that you're not going to put Morgan Riley in the lineup.
No.
But you could have found a way to keep some of the things together. But nope. It was right back to the old ways the second Riley was healthy.
Poor Riley, man. I hope he has a big playoffs again, because like, I don't know. I don't think he's had that. Like, I know he missed a significant amount of time, but I don't think he's had that great a regular season. And I don't think he had that great of a regular season last year either. He's kind of just a dude out there. Like, he's not terrible.
He doesn't look good at all.
But he's not really bringing you much, right? So, but last year in the playoffs, man, like
$7.5 million.
No, I know.
You need a lot more than that.
Like, last year in the playoffs, he was incredible. Like, that's the best I've ever seen him look ever. So I hope that he's got some of that saved in the bank here.
Last night, him and Lyubushkin were the worst D pairing on the ice.
I would consider splitting that pair up. Like, they don't need to play those two together. Well,
is Keith trying to get sort of the magic that he had last year with Shen and Riley, sort of the bruiser and Riley together? Is he trying to recreate that going into the playoffs?
100%. And you need someone tough that can play in their own zone to play with Riley, but there's another guy on the team. You might think I'm crazy for saying this. He's out for injury right now, but he'll be coming back. Is it crazy to play him with Riley? Like, would that
honestly, anything's better than that Lyubushkin Riley line? They just get caved in. Lyubushkin's not great at moving the puck, and Riley is just not a good defenseman.
No, like, I would leave McCabe and Benoit. That's it.
Yeah,
for
me. That's been your best D pairing.
Ship has sailed on Brody with me. Like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Like, the ship has just completely sailed. If he's not the seventh defenseman to start the fucking playoffs, Sheldon Keith is fucking insane. Like, seriously.
I kind of liked when they had Liljegren and Edmondson together.
I can handle that, but you know what I would do?
Then you have Riley Lyubushkin at the top.
Okay, so what if you played Edmondson up with Riley, and what if your bottom pair becomes Lyubushkin?
Liljegren?
No, well, okay, Liljegren, yes, maybe, but I was actually going to say Giordano. I think Giordano's got a little fire lit in him right now with the injury, with his dad passing. You know, I think maybe that's the type of guy who's like playing for a little something extra.
Yeah,
you might want to have him in the lineup.
For sure.
Like, does that make sense or no?
Yeah, oh man, for sure. Yeah, like, I would totally. Hey, I know he's the oldest defenseman in the league right now, but like you say, he's got a little fire in him and he's got experience. Let him have it.
I'd have some combination of that, like whether they keep Lyubushkin with Riley.
That'd be a pretty slow third pairing.
Okay.
And Lyubushkin.
Okay. Fair. That's fair.
Like, it might work. It might work, but like.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, if you have Liljegren, you have a little speed, a little puck skill back there.
Well, basically, just like, don't go past the red line, boys. Just like, don't get caught. Like, just don't get caught. Like, no jumping in or whatever. Like, or Geo can join the rush every now and then, but Labushkin always hangs back so they don't get fucking caught with like foot speed.
I would try it out because the Riley Labushkin thing, it maybe it'll click because he keeps trying it, but it just doesn't look good. Can't break up McCabe and Benoit. Said earlier, just leave it alone.
And like, we're running out of time here. Like, so try Riley with Riley. Like, they can never, how long? Like, they can't find a fucking guy to play with Riley. It's just, it's always a fucking
thing. There was one guy.
Well, Brody for a lot of time, but
no.
Oh, before Broads?
Ronald Hainsey.
Oh, Hainsey. That was the best. Yeah. That was, we're on Mrs. Hainsey. I miss her so much, man. She was the best. Ronnie Hainsey. I wonder what that cat's up to nowadays. Heard anything on him?
Yeah.
Is he like a scout or?
No. I talk to Ron every now and then. Is he just good?
Yeah, just hanging out. Is he not like working in the game or anything? I thought he was working for a team.
Yeah, he works a little bit for one of the teams, but he's in a bowling league. Bowling perfect. Tuesdays and Thursdays. But Mrs. Hainsey says hi, by the way.
Oh, I love that. Love that. Yeah, man. Anyway, so I guess the last thing I have really is that kind of touched on the top or off the top here on this, like,
well, just to wrap up the defenseman before we go.
Yeah, sure.
Just quickly, you know, Keefe's going to play Brody game one in the playoffs.
No chance.
You know, he will.
I just can't see it, man. Like,
nobody can. And I love TJ Brody, but he hasn't played good enough to play.
Like, I want the lineup. Like, I'm hesitant to even play Liljegren. He banged up a bunch this year. Like, what's he going to even really give you? My two guys on the outside.
I'm not talking about if they can play or if they're banged up. I'm just saying, what have you seen this year that would tell you Sheldon Keefe? I know he sat Brody a little bit, but I think when it comes to playoff time, he's going to be like, he just trusts him. He trusts TJ Brody, which and is he insane. Believes in him. So he's going to play him.
I don't think you're wrong at all, but like literally, he did say in a post-game interview after one of the games last week, it might have been the Buffalo game, might have been the Florida game, I'm not sure. But he said in one of those games, like, he was asked about Brody since coming back from, like, being healthy scratched and all that.
Yeah.
And Sheldon Keefe, I don't know if you saw this or not, just blowing smoke up Brody's ass. Like, love his game since he's returned. Like, doing a lot of good things.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, what guy are you fucking watching? I watched him make, like, one nice pass to Matthews the other night. Other than that, it's the same fucking dude out there.
Yeah.
Like, that's, he's not what I've been saying. I don't know. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, it wouldn't surprise me, but I think it's the wrong call. I would have him and Liljegren on the outside looking in to start. I want that. Obviously, Riley's going to play. I want that D-core going in to look as defensively like a group of D-man that they possibly fucking can. And I'm sorry, that just doesn't include TJ Brody currently. It just doesn't. But anyway, like a little bit off the top, I was talking about tree living and giving him a little bit of flowers here. They haven't won anything yet, so like, let's not gonna go crazy here. But all of a sudden, Bertuzzi, Domi, Reeves, like Ryan Reeves, this guy couldn't fucking skate in October, and now I'm like, he's playing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, there's no fucking doubt about it. He's playing.
If he wasn't injured, he would have gone on waivers. They 100%. Couldn't put him on waivers because he was injured. So without him banging himself up, he probably wouldn't even be on the team anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, I don't know who would have taken that contract, actually, 2 years.
Well, they probably just would have buried him in the minors. Or
buried him, yeah.
And that's it. And then all of a sudden, he's healthy, and they're keeping him around, and he finds his way back into the lineup somehow. And all of a sudden, he's a completely different player. He can skate. He's in the play. He's laying hits. He's fighting.
Like, I know. He's
more
doing,
than
I know.
Any Leaf I can remember fighting.
Dude.
And like big heavyweight fights he's doing out there. So it's funny. Yeah. Tree living. Finally, you're seeing a little method to the madness. At the beginning of the year, like you said, you're like, what the hell?
Well, just nothing was working out. Anything that whoever he brought in, it like couldn't find a spot for Domi. Bertuzzi couldn't get it going. Reeves looked like shit.
Benoit got hurt.
We're like, who's this guy? Yeah. Fuck, man. It's crazy. And the additions of like Edmondson, Labushkin, and like obviously Edmondson, if healthy, I think is going to be a very key addition. But Benoit, Bertuzzi, Domi, Reeves, all of them. Now, all of a sudden, every single move that Tree Living has made here looks like, okay, that's probably going to help.
Together.
Yeah, it's coming together for sure, man. So it's just, and so that kind of like off what you were saying there, like overall toughness here, it looks a lot different, right? Like the way they're hitting and not afraid and like whatever, like, I don't know. It just, it looks different. Guys like who I just named, Bertuzzi, Domi, Benoit.
You know why, you know why it looks different? Because it's not fake. I think in the past we've seen the Leafs, when it gets close to playoff time or the playoffs come, they try to act tougher. They try to be like, we're not going to be pushed around and stuff.
Yeah.
These are the real deal type of dirty nose players.
Yeah.
That's why it feels different. Like Ryan Reeves is seriously, he's not joking around. People are scared of this motherfucker.
Oh, fuck, man.
And then like Max Domi's not afraid to get in there. Bertuzzi's an animal when things get crazy.
Yeah.
This is
for sure.
For the first time in, I can't remember, we have real guys that play that way. And that's why it feels different this year. It's because you're going into the playoffs with fucking soldiers for once.
No, for sure. And I know he's young and only a rookie, but Matthew Nye seems like he won't be, if it calls for it, he'll get right in there. He'll scrap whatever he needs to do. He'll do it too. So
he's not afraid.
No, not afraid.
It's not an act. It doesn't feel like an act. It doesn't feel like they're just fucking doing it because they know they're supposed to. They're doing it because that's how they play.
No, totally agree, man. Okay, so anyway, it should be interesting. That's all I got here for tonight, Chad, unless, you know, kind of crammed a bunch in, but I wanted to keep it short. And unless you got anything else, we'll just, I guess, get out of here and we'll be back after the Habs game.
We'll be back after the Habs game for the Tip-In Maple Leafs podcast. Don't forget, once again, follow us on social media at the Tip-In Maple Leafs podcast, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Tip-In Podcast, TikTok, Tip-In Pod on Twitter, email us, tipinpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, everybody, get ready, because Austin Matthews is going to finish the season with 69 goals.
The only thing to look forward to.
I'm putting my money on it right now. The road to 69 starts.
The only thing left to look forward to. The road to 69. Love
there it. We go. Anyway, love for it. The Tip-In Maple Leafs podcast, I'm Chad.
Dale.
We will.
Yeah, guys, thanks for watching. We'll see you after the Habs game sometime, probably Sunday. We'll be back doing a pod, break that puppy down, see how closer 34 is to 69. Can't wait to see that. But thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Please like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would really appreciate that. Go Leafs, go, baby. Last game against Montreal this season. Saturday night in Montreal. Always a good time. Always a good time. All right, guys. We'll catch you later.